A young man has just graduated from college with his education degree. And he's now looking for a job as a high school teacher. He has a vision of helping students prepare for life after high school. But at the same time, he has a lot of doubts. The kid seems so bored, so unresponsive, he says, about his practice teaching this past year. I wonder if my work will make any difference in their lives at all. A social worker has been at her job for a number of years. She began her work with high ideals of what she could accomplish to address some of the painful situations she saw around her. But in her small town alone, she soon found there were far more needy people than she could serve. On top of that, she discovered that she would normally see people only once they had reached a crisis point. I'm not making a dent in the system of social relationships or poverty or the discrimination that affects them. She says, I don't know that my work is making much of a difference. Do you ever wonder about the worth and the impact of the things that occupy you throughout the week? Whether it's paid work or unpaid parenting, volunteer service or grandparenting, even the little things like being kind to the stranger on the phone who got the wrong number, or praying about something you heard in the news. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what difference will it make anyway? What's the point of my small contribution? Well, today's scripture is all about a woman who may have asked herself some of the same kinds of questions. She was a poor widow. Just one person among all the people who worshipped at the temple. Why should she even bother to make an offering when she had so little to give? What difference could her two little coins make? The setting of this story is the temple in Jerusalem that Herod began expanding before Jesus was born. Even though Jesus was now a grown man, part of that temple was still under construction at the time of this story. From what we know of the temple at that time, it had at least three different levels. The first was the large courtyard where anyone was allowed, and it was called the Court of the Gentiles. And raised just slightly above that was an inner area of the same courtyard where there were money changers would set up their tables during the feasts and where the scribes would meet. Beyond that was a much smaller courtyard called the Court of Women that was as far as the women could go in the temple grounds. Raised above that was the Court of Israel, and beyond that, the Court of the Priests. Now, in the Court of Women stood what the Gospel of Mark called the treasury. And these were boxes, or actually like horns, that were there for the contributions towards the expenses of the temple services. Instead of passing an offering basket, the custom at that time was for people to deposit their offerings and gifts in these boxes or horns as they came into the temple. Jesus had likely been teaching in the area right next to the Court of Women, where the scribes held their schools. And when he took a break from teaching, he sat down in the women's court near these contribution boxes. As he sat there, Jesus watched people as they came into the temple and made their contributions. This may sound a bit rude to us, but there's evidence from elsewhere in the gospel that some of the wealthier people made quite a show of giving their offerings. They actually wanted people to watch what they gave. Apparently, this showing off was so common especially in giving to the poor, that Jesus addressed it directly in his Sermon on the Mount when he said, "So whenever you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they might be praised by others." Perhaps in our story here in Mark, there were some rich people making a rather elaborate show of their giving at these contribution boxes. They wanted to be seen. Among them, Jesus also saw a poor widow who put in 2 tiny coins into the box. To say it was a modest offering is an understatement. A day laborer at that time might make the equivalent of those 2 coins in just 15 minutes. But that was all she had. And she did a very risky thing with those 2 coins. Some people might say it was a very foolish thing. She put both coins into the temple contribution box. And when Jesus saw what the widow had done, he gathered his disciples for a real life object lesson. "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put more in than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Well, the example of this poor widow does make a great stewardship sermon about giving to the church. But the context of her story suggests that Jesus was thinking about more than just money here. You see, just before the story of the poor widow, Jesus was talking about some of the scribes. The scribes who took great pride in all of their prestigious trappings of their position. The long robes. The places of public salutations. The places of honor at feasts. But you know what? Jesus wasn't impressed with all this. He criticized them for their pride, for their insincerity, for their lack of compassion. He even commented on their harsh treatment of poor widows in his critique, which sets the stage for the story of the poor widow that follows. Now, immediately after our story, Jesus is leaving the temple grounds when one of his disciples called his attention to the stones and the buildings of the temple. Herod's building project was magnificent, to say the least. But again, Jesus wasn't impressed. He knew that the temple was just a building made by human hands, one that would be eventually destroyed. Before our story, we have Jesus unimpressed by the scribes who thought they were so great. And after our passage, we have Jesus unimpressed by the temple. Then in the middle, bracketed by those 2 unimpressive things, we have what really impressed Jesus. The poor widow who put in her 2 coins, who put in everything she had. The scribes may look important, the temple may look important, but the things are not what they seem. What really counted was the apparently unimportant contribution of this poor widow. What looked very small and insignificant to other people was something important and significant for Jesus. He didn't focus on the small amount of what the woman gave, but on the total commitment that it represented. She may have only had 2 small coins, but all of that was given to God. You see, throughout Jesus' ministry, it's easy to see his love for the small and the apparently insignificant things of life. When his disciples argued about which of them was the greatest, he talked about the importance of receiving a child in his name. When he taught about the kingdom of God, Jesus said it was like a small grain of mustard seed that grows into a tree or like a bit of leaven that transforms the flour into bread. Jesus often used such small, insignificant things to teach his disciples important truths. But I wonder, in Jesus' love for apparently insignificant things, if sometimes he was really talking to himself too. Maybe he sometimes thought about the apparent smallness of his own human life and work, and needed to remind himself that God looks beyond what is apparent. I mean, after all, Jesus himself came from a family so poor that Mary couldn't afford the regular sacrifice after his birth. Instead of a lamb and a pigeon, Mary and Joseph gave only two pigeons, which was the sacrifice of the poor. At the time of our story, Jesus probably didn't have much more money than that poor widow did. And with the exception of a brief time in Egypt as an infant, Jesus never traveled widely. His preaching only reached a relatively small number of people. He didn't heal all the sick in Jerusalem or cast out all the demons in Judea. And he was apparently conscious of the human limitations that he had taken on. For he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Even as the chief laborer, Jesus seemed to suggest that more laborers were needed. In the poor widow, perhaps Jesus recognized a kindred spirit. Someone who was also doing an apparently small thing, but was giving everything she had to God. That's a model and an encouragement for our lives today. A teacher might have doubts about the smallness of his ability to engage his students. A social worker might have doubts about the smallness of her efforts in the face of so much human need. Any of us might wonder about the smallness of the things we do each day. But what matters to God is not so much the size of what we have to give. What matters is how much is committed to God. The prestige of the scribes was only a show. The magnificent temple buildings were only temporary. The truly great work was the small gift of the poor widow, because it was a commitment of faith and risk, just like Jesus' own work was. In Jesus' life and ministry, he took the risks of antagonizing the religious authorities and being misunderstood by the people. The poor widow took the risk of giving all her money away. Faith and risk are partners. The teacher risks working with her students who may not appreciate or respond to his efforts. The social worker risks investing herself in people, knowing she addresses only a fraction of the needs in her community and an even smaller fraction of the world. What steps of faith and risk do we take today? Is there something you fear is too small or too insignificant? Think about whatever that might be, the thing that sometimes makes you feel discouraged. The thing that makes you're tempted to say, "Why bother?" Might be a situation in your family or at work. The never-ending task of keeping house, the money you donate to the church and to other worthy causes, the time you give to prayer. These things might be relatively small, but what commitment of faith and risk do they require? The poor widow that Jesus commends. Let's commit those things to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, sometimes the things we do seem so small and insignificant. We get tired of working so hard for so little. We get discouraged, Lord, by our small results. We wonder why bother at all. Help us, Lord. Help us to recommit ourselves now to you and to the small things that you have given us. Strengthen our faith. Be with us in our risk. Amen.